We are on the fly at the Weeks Hangar on the very north side of Oshkosh, up here in what used to be overflow parking. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't overflow parking this year because everything is full. And there is no overflow. It's like completely full here at AirVenture. And a lot of that has to do with a fantastic week, good weather, and the people are just turning out in droves for the best aviation event in the world that we're lucky to be part of here on the fly. And we have been talking up here at the Weeks Hangar about all things kind of behind the scenes that goes on. And one of those things that a lot of people don't get to see who show up to go to AirVenture or any other time for that matter is the EA chapters get to sponsor kids in their chapter and send them to the EA Air Academy. And the Air Academy has camps all through the summer. How many camps are there? Oh, I'm talking to Michaela Gillis now. She's one of the flight instructors that works at the Academy this year, and we'll talk with her about what that entails. But let's talk a little bit about the Air Academy, since Scott Cameron didn't want to come over and talk, so you got saddled with that. So how many camps are there?
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. Through the summer, we usually see we have about six different camps. It's about three different programs. We have Young Eagles, Basic, and then right now we are lucky to have our Advanced Air Academy camp, which is including 17, 18-year-olds just right about their going off to aviation in college or future endeavors.
Or whatever it is they choose to do, yeah. Well, we have a little competition from a Eurocopter over here, the one that performs in the air show. They're going to move that over to Air Ops over there, the Hiller, because they're going to fly. I know you can't hear me. So there might be an airport around here somewhere.
Yeah,
let's talk about the program. So one of the benefits that the campers have is they get to fly. So they do a lot of things. Tell us about some of the other things that they get to do other than fly.
Yeah, so these campers are so lucky. They get to experience so many different aspects of aviation. They not only get to fly in our Cessna 162 Skycatcher, but they get to experience a helicopter flight that maybe some people here at Oshkosh are getting to experience this week as well. During the time, during when AirVenture or during Young Eagles or Basic Camp, we get to spend a lot of time in the workshop getting hands-on with wing ribs, sheet metal work, working with composites. We also do a lot of 3D printing. We also have access to EAA's Proficiency Center with all the Redbird simulators, so we've been getting students in there and actually flying in Redbird Sims.
Now, are you talking about the Proficiency Center in the museum or
yes.
the new youth pavilion?
Yes, in the museum.
In the museum, okay. Because I know there's some new stuff this year with the youth pavilion at Four Corners, and we're actually going to be there on Thursday. So, all right, so the Skycatchers. So, interestingly enough, as most people know, Jack Pelton was the CEO of Cessna prior to his role here. And his wife, Rose, wanted an airplane to fly, and they purchased, I believe, either the first or very nearly the first Skycatcher for her. And it's a pretty cool trainer. They've decided to go. So it's a pretty cool trainer in that there's a lot of advanced electronics in it, and for a very simple airplane, it's pretty complex, although not complex to fly. Did you fly a Skycatcher before you started teaching in them here?
So I didn't even know what Skycatcher was before I started as a flight instructor here at EA Air Academy last summer. So this is now my second summer flying them, and I was so happy to come back and just instruct in them again.
Oh, cool. Now, you're a student at UND
in
North Dakota in, I assume, the aviation program.
Yes.
And part of that program is, of course, getting your CFI. And, and so, yeah, this is kind of a cool thing for not only you but for the Air Academy to get young instructors in that can really relate with the kids.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they don't feel intimidated or anything. So you're giving them sometimes Probably not their first flight, considering they're coming from typically an EA chapter, but in some cases, maybe rare cases, it would be. But I assume most kids have not flown a Skycatcher because there's not tons of them everywhere. So
that would be correct.
Are you able to actually let them fly for most of the time? How many flights do they get?
So each student, we try our best to get them at least one flight during the camp session. There are about 45 to 50 kids that come per camp, and sometimes camp lasts as long as 5 days to 9 days. So one flight is pretty usual for it.
Okay.
We do let them actually go up and fly. You usually see about maybe 8 to 10 of the campers actually have never been in a small airplane before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's where my job is.
More than I thought.
That's where my job's really fun, because then I get to give them their very first flight in the 162, and the smiles on their faces when they get out is just, that's the best part of my job. But
yeah, you get to plant the seed.
Exactly.
That then becomes possibly a career in aviation.
Exactly.
You know? So that is very cool. And did you have a similar experience?
Yeah, actually, the kids that come to Air Academy, that's exactly my story too. When I was younger, around 16, 17, I was looking into careers, and I learned about becoming a pilot. And I went to my local EAA chapter, did the first introductory discovery flight, and they ended up giving me a sponsorship to Air Academy. So Air Academy gave me my start into aviation, which then led me to UND as well.
And now you're giving back by working there.
That's
pretty cool.
I know. It's been really such an honor to come back and kind of be full circle for it.
So I just thought, you know, we were talking about, maintaining the Skycatchers. It's one of the things they do here at Weeks and interact with that.
Yeah.
And this time of year, you're busy with those airplanes and they're keeping them running.
Extremely.
And I thought that may be a good opportunity for us to plug the Air Academy a little bit.
Absolutely.
And get some time. So, well, Michaela, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And talking to us about the stuff. I know we're gonna talk to Bill Sleeper here because he just jumped out of a trimotor. He's the chief pilot of the trimotor program. And so thanks for talking to us today. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming over and making time. And enjoy your day off tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
You betcha. Well, as we transition here from the Skycatcher to the trimotor.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Good to see you.
You look like you might have been working a little bit today.
Yeah, I just got off a two-hour shift in the trimotor, and it's the usual rush hour chaos out there. It's great fun.
So Bill Sleeper is in trimotor operations. He's the chief pilot, and that entails a lot of things. And we've got, about 18, 20 minutes to talk about a lot of things. So let's start with talking about the airplane itself and operating the airplane. So obviously the trimotor, Ford trimotor, is not your typical everyday run-of-the-mill 172. You've got round motors. They're big round motors, R985s,
that's
three
correct.
Of them. So what would you say? We'll just head right into it. What's the biggest obstacle to a pilot coming in and flying a trimotor?
Well, it's a fairly straightforward airplane. It doesn't really have any tricks up its sleeve other than the fact that it's slow, and it's slow to respond. So, and it has a tremendous amount of adverse aileron yaw. So if your feet are not educated and being coordinated, tail dragger stuff, this is tail dragger times two. So one of the things that most new people have not a trouble with is just understanding how much rudder you need to apply with how much aileron. As far as handling characteristics beyond that, it's an honest airplane. It doesn't want to swap ends on landing. The engines, 985s, are just bulletproof. It's relatively simple. We only have one generator on the airplane. It's not a complicated electrical system. The fuel system comprises three tanks, and they all feed into a main line, and each engine operates off of that connecting line. So the fuel system is really simple. There's no flaps. The only hydraulics we have are brakes, and that's it. There's no flaps. The cord of the wing is 31 inches thick, so it generates a huge amount of lift all by itself and no other lifting devices needed. And it just takes a little while just to understand the airplane.
So let's talk about operating. Obviously, you know, round motors. You have to go out. You got to pull them through,
right,
to clear them. So that's something that's a little different. Pilots aren't used to necessarily doing that unless they operate a round motor airplane of their own.
Correct.
And so there's quite a bit of pre-flight activity. Do the mechanics here do that for you, or do you have to do that every
day?
No,
it's all up to the pilots.
So,
So we come out here, we dipstick the tanks. We have a measuring device, a stick that measures like how many gallons we have in each tank. And we drain the fuel sumps. So there's a sump in each engine, sump in each tank. We pull the props through to make sure there's no fluid that's oil is accumulated in the bottom cylinders. And these airplanes get so much exercise. I've never seen any of these engines hydraulic lock. And 985s generally do not do that, but as a precaution, we always pull them through. Other than that, it's just a straightforward, large airplane. It's really, really simple to fly, simple inch.
What is the max gross weight?
Okay, we have two airplanes, a 4AT and a 5AT. The 4AT we call Little Ford, and that has a 10,130-pound gross weight. Big Ford, a 5AT, has a 12,499 gross weight.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
It's a convenient number. So we don't need two pilots. We can operate the airplane single pilot, which we do. And
So you operate a single pilot, but are you normally also training somebody, or is it always a passenger when you're doing the
When we're on a tour stop or traveling the country, we sell the co-pilot seat. And quite often it's the pilot that wants to see what it's like to sit in the right seat of a Ford Trimotor, but I've also had people buy the right seat that have never been in an airplane ever. So their very first flight in an airplane is in the right co-pilot seat of a Ford Trimotor.
Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some more of the pilot qualification stuff, how to get involved, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jay Monchi, we're on the fly all the way on the north side of Oshkosh Field here at the Weeks Hangar. You're listening to EA Radio.